Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, what a sweet sound in the air. Sound of grace, sound of dreams, sound of new life, sound of possibilities. And so, Lord, we just want to pause for just a moment and tell you that 16 years ago, we couldn't even have dreamed this. And so, God, I know if we get 16 more years of journeying together, we won't be able to dream that either. So, Lord, help us embrace your dream, your reality, your call, your life, even when we don't want to. And dear God, I thank you that you have absolutely forgiven us and you never leave us and you restore us. And Lord, in spite of what everybody else may say, what you have said stands. Amen. So as we travel through this world, let us stand in you, live in you, walk in you, and remember you in all we do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's it. That's a 16-year celebration at Hillview Heights Church. How many of you all have heard this morning through worship that Jesus Christ is Lord?
Amen.
Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm kind of blown away. I can't believe it's been 16 years. I looked up this morning, I said, I started my 17th year of ministry at Hillview Heights Church. I looked up this morning, and I've been preaching the gospel for 26 years. I started young. Two. But you know, all of a sudden I went, wait a minute. And I started looking, and I said, you know, 16 more years, and I don't look like I do right now. I know I'm not going to feel like I do right now. And you know what? 16 years has gone like really, really fast. How many of y'all found that life moves pretty fast? In fact, the other day I was talking to Elizabeth and we were looking at some things we were doing. And I looked at her and I said, Elizabeth, you know, I think I'm going to be dead before I get all this stuff done. We got a lot to get done. I want to sum up the Hillview story in the Gospel of John chapter 4. And I think this is what we celebrate. And I want to give you three things that we got to constantly celebrate. And we got to constantly let the Lord allow us to become. First of all, how many of you have come to the realization without Jesus, your sins are not forgiven?
Yeah.
I think if you don't totally believe that and absolutely hold to that, you're messed up from that point on. I used to farm a little bit. And if you don't get the corner post set for the fence, it doesn't matter what you do on down the line in the fence. It'll always be out of line. And I think a lot of churches are out of line because they start on a false premise. The church is not about human beings. The church is about the glory of Jesus Christ. And I want to thank you all because you know what? If you're going to be a part of a church that's about Jesus Christ, it's a lot rougher than being a part of a lot of the churches we have today in our culture that say, hey, come because we got a better show going on, or come because you'll feel better here, or come because you know, we really got this program going or that program going. And Hillview, I just want to thank God for some things. I am so glad that we didn't become another show in town. And that's because you wanted to embrace Jesus Christ. And you know what I love about Jesus? He's not a show. He's a redeemer.
Amen.
Now, some people accuse us of being showy because our music's loud and we got lights. That's called communication. It's called communication. But you know what? They can say what they want to. I know the people in the choir. I know what Jesus has done to their lives. I know a lot of the sin that's been forgiven. I know the new way of thinking in the house. A lot of people may say, all right, preacher's just full of hype. He's emotional. I'm emotional about eating cornflakes. What people can't understand is that when you follow Jesus Christ, He lets the real you come out. You know, and here's what's been really cool about Hillview. Guess what? I get to be me and you get to be you. And I'm glad at Hillview we got hyper people and we got quiet people and we got really smart people and we got really dumb people. And we got all kinds of people that have come together and done what? Said, let's let Jesus do what Jesus does. And that's bring life. And if I could encourage you, what are we going to continue to do? We're going to bring life wherever we are. We're just going to bring life wherever we are. To me, that's where the church has got to go today. The Church of Jesus Christ has got to start being a life-giving institution. Once again, I'm going to bring this back because you set the corner post off. Everything else will be skewed from there. Only Jesus can forgive sin. How many of y'all understand that? Music can't forgive sin. Preaching can't forgive sin. Church organizations can't forgive sin. Living in Bowling Green won't forgive you your sins. Being a Baptist won't keep you from being a sinner. Being a Methodist won't help you be sanctified. You and I got to meet Jesus Christ. But when we meet Jesus Christ, our sin can be forgiven. And when our sin is forgiven, there is an absolutely new way of living that opens up. So I want to, y'all believe this. I'm preaching to the choir today, and every once in a while you need to preach to the choir. You know what? You all believe that Jesus can totally change people. I want to thank you for that. And I want to thank a lot of y'all that, you know, I don't do this enough, and I'm going to thank you today. I want to thank every one of you that have stayed in the ride, even when it's been difficult. How many of y'all have discovered this in church? When you stay, you learn a lot more about God.
Amen.
You know, there's a lot of people, they never move what I call level one faith, bless me, Lord, faith. Because anytime they're in a church and they get in a difficulty, they go to another place and another place and another place and another place. We figured it out in Bowling Green one time as a staff. You can go to church for 6 months in a different church here and you'll be 87. Every 6 months, you can trade congregations. And guess what that means? You'll never grow an inch. Because I don't know about you all, if you don't take on hard times, you'll never get strength. How many of you all found that? If you just stay in the welcome and in the new, that's not the Spirit of God. That's just new. That's just new. Somebody asked me, they said, Ayers, how did a guy like you stay at a church so long? I said, that's been amazing to me. But you know what? Even as a pastor, there's us pastors, man. Guess what? We like to stay in about 4 or 5 years and boom, go to another place. Why? You stay in a welcome zone for 2.5 years. You never have to really get into the challenge. You know what I love? We're celebrating. How far in the challenge are we going to go together? You know what I love about Hillview? I can trust a lot of you. You know why? We've been in the battle before. And a lot of people I thought I could trust, guess what? I can't go to battle with them because when I turn to my right and my left, they're not here anymore. You know why? Because they left when it got tough. They left when the bless me left. They left when the bless me left. You know how? No, I'm not being critical. I'm just telling you what's out there because I always hear them. They go, oh, I'm in another church now and it's really blessing me. So why did they leave? Why did they leave? Come on, let's get honest. Y'all the 8 o'clock crew, y'all been through this. Why did they leave? It's time for y'all to go to deeper. There comes a point in time when you need to quit drinking milk and start eating steak. And if you've been in the faith for 20 or 30 years and you're still asking the Lord to bless you, I got one word, grow up. After God's forgiven you of your sins, after God's poured the anointing of the Holy Spirit through you, after God has just totally blessed you, there comes a point in time in your spiritual life where you say, God, take my life and use it as an instrument of thy peace to show the world, Jesus, that you're real.
Amen.
And if you're really going to follow Jesus, you're looking at how is my life going to be used so that others might know there's a great life in Christ. I think that's been the Hillview story.
Amen.
You know, we do it through a race car, Brad. Brad James got hit by Jesus. There's no doubt. I knew him before. He knew me before. He and J.D. House had a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, they said, you know what? We're going to use a race car to tell people about what? Jesus, man, that's exciting. Here at Hillview, we've met together at a state park so people could know who? Jesus. We've ridden motorcycles, bicycles, gone to football games, basketball games, blessed universities. Let people know what? Jesus is real. Is it biblical? You better believe it is. Go with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and I want to give you some things we got to keep doing. And then we're going to come to the altar and pray and thank God and continue to do them. Amen? Amen? Y'all awake? Amen? I exalt thee, what? Amen? Amen? Y'all getting this? How many of y'all, your bless me is beginning to wear off? Anybody, your bless me is beginning? And watch this. If you still got a bless me attitude, guess what? I'm going to really ask you to come today and say, Lord, you know what? I'm so blessed. I'm overblessed. How many of y'all are overblessed? I don't know about you, but I got up and had breakfast this morning. 75% of this world didn't. I got up this morning and guess what? I got in a nice vehicle to ride to church. My vehicle's nicer than 80% of the homes in the world. My vehicle. I got more gadgets in my vehicle than most people got in their home. I got climate control air conditioning. I can set my temperature on my side. air conditioning in Elizabeth's temperature on her side. Heater. All in one vehicle. 75%, 80% of the world, they don't even have heat and cool. In Hillview, I think it's time for us to take the gospel into the world. We're already doing that, but God's going to take us on. Eventually, you got to get over the bless me factor. Okay, it's really not about bless me anymore. It's about, Lord, you are the blessing. And it's that old hymn, make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. How many of y'all are a blessing? You want to see this church continue on and take on the world? Then keep singing, Lord, make me a blessing. Use me to do great things. Here I am, Lord. What? Send me. Send me. I'm not waiting on the preacher. I'm not waiting on the church. I'm not waiting on the organization. Here I am, Lord. Send me into the world. And let me just be your love, your grace, your purpose, your power in the world. That's what Jesus did. He went in the world. Go with me to John chapter 4. First thing he'll view on our journey, we got to continue to go. We got to continue to go. We got to continue to go. Continue to go. You know the story. The religious were worried about Jesus. There were a lot of baptizing going on. A lot of baptizing going on. And the Pharisees realized that Jesus' group was even baptizing more than John's group. And they had done a denominational study between the Pharisees and the Sadducees in John's new church. And they were all worried about what was going on. But Jesus wasn't baptizing them. His disciples was. I want to thank you all for baptizing people here. That's important to me. I think it's important to Jesus. I think the Great Commission said it was important. If it wasn't important, why were those the last words of Jesus? It's amazing to me in the Great Commission. Nowhere in the Great Commission did it say, and now as I ascend to heaven, may you be blessed. These are the last words of our Lord. I think last words are important, don't you? I think at your very last words, you say absolutely what's important. He said, go into the world and do what? Tell them what I've done. Tell them who I am. And tell them that nowhere did he say, now go and be blessed. Go and be selfish. Go and be absorbed in your own little worlds. Go and market me. Go and sit down and make sure when you come out of worship, the only thing you can say about it is I felt good. Do you know how God wants to vomit at the American church? Vomit. Like at school when you put that red dust on it. Vomit. We're lucky we're still here. We've sold God. We've had all this sugary bubblegum gospel jazz. We've turned God into Walmart. But he stayed. But Hillview, I want to thank you because guess what? We didn't go that direction. And we're never going to go that direction. But we're going to go Samaria's direction. We've been in Samaria. Hillview, I want to encourage you to be a church that continues to go where nobody else will go. It's easy to grow a church if all you're going to do is comb off everybody else's church members. It's not hard to grow a church that way. Most of church growth in America is not new convert growth. Dr. Whittle, ye of many pages of writing and study. See, I'm glad to have all these smart people now on staff, aren't you? Watch, I can be verified. Scott, how much church growth is people that don't know Jesus Christ? Very little. Very little, 14%. Most of it is, hey, the church down the road is putting on a better show than we are. Let's go see the show. How many of y'all are glad to know Jesus Christ isn't a show? Jesus Christ is the Lord. He's a Savior. He's alive. He's a new way of living. It's not a show. I love it. Look at here. Keith didn't put on a production this morning. Keith said, man, what songs have echoed the journey of Hillview? These, we got to go. Well, look at John chapter 4. Where did Jesus go? He went to Samaria, a place nobody wanted to go, a place of disobedience, a place where the Jews had messed up. There's only one reason the Samaritans existed. The Jews married who God told them not to marry, and thus the Samaritans. And what do we find here? A Samaritan woman in need of life. Now, Hillview, how many more people are we passing by in the need of life? In the need of life. How many of y'all know people that need some life? Yeah, I just need some life. Well, I want us to take it in the next 16 years. This is one bottom line of Hillview. You ought to come to Hillview and get a new life. And here's what's in the new life. If I get a new life, that means I got to think different than I used to think. What do you think? I act different than I used to act. I embrace life different than I used to embrace life. I see things different. How many of y'all found the deeper you go with God, the less you think about yourself and the more you think about how you live? Anybody finding that? Yeah. I don't know about you all, but man, when I was even younger than I am now, man, I was just selfish all the time. How many of y'all were selfish? Elizabeth and I, when we first got married, man, we had fight after fight after fight. Bottom line, I was selfish. I can't believe she wouldn't let me spend that money on that water ski. I know we had a house payment, but so I can't believe I couldn't get what I wanted when I wanted it. Any of y'all wired that way? I'm an American. I believe if I get a lot of stuff, I'm going to be happy. I mean, I really believe that Bible verse. He with the most toys wins. I've believed that at one time. How many of y'all believe that? Then what happens, I collected some toys and I didn't have any life. How many of y'all have collected the toys and you didn't have any life? You got the right kind of kids that did the right kind of things. You had the right kind of marriage, had the right kind of house, had the right kind of neighborhood. And you found yourself in Samaria. Mentally. There's always a Samaria. And you know what Samaria is? It's a place. It's actually a literal location. But you know what Samaria also is? It's a place without the reality of God. A Samaria. How many of y'all got some places in your life without the reality of God? Even still. You're going to heaven. You've been saved. But you got some places in your thinking without the reality of God. I do. Watch. Jesus walks in and he'll view. I want to tell you, first of all, we got to go there. We got to go places people don't want to go. And I want to thank you for going places that people don't want to go. I want to thank you going to a single mother's oil change. People don't want to go there. I want to thank you for going to people that don't look like they're supposed to be in church. That's all of us. I wasn't voted most likely to preach. And then after I got a call and they tried to vote it out. I'm glad to know that everybody's welcome. When Jesus went to Samaria, he had to go through there. He didn't go around it. He went through there. And as Jesus goes through there, he meets a woman. Which brings me to the second point. Hillview, continue to break the rules. How many of y'all know we're a rule-breaking church? Anybody know that? Here's what I love. Y'all know how to break the rules in grace. Well, back then, men aren't supposed to talk to women. Samaritans aren't supposed to talk to Jews. And look at what happened. Jesus said, "Will you give me a drink?" Uh-oh, what did Jesus do? He broke the rules. Whose rules? Our rules. If you grew up a Baptist, we have more rules than any Jewish person ever thought of dreaming having rules. If you grew up a Methodist, they put their rules in the book of discipline. If you grew up a Pentecostal, it looks like you don't have rules, but all yours are unwritten. If you grew up a Presbyterian, your rules are in order and decided on by the Senate and the Congress. We have rules, and we have rules that don't bring life. How many of y'all have had to get rid of some of your rules that don't bring life? But we've done that here at Hillview, and I want to just tell you, continue on, because look at what happens. She said, "Sir, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? Because Jews don't associate with Samaritans." Hillview, we got to continue to associate with people no matter where they're from. Amen? This is part of our story. How many of y'all realize one of the greatest things at Hillview? I'm going to give you two great things. We're willing to go and we're willing to welcome folk when we get there. Amen? But that's what happened in this church. I laugh at people that leave and say, "Well, Hillview's not a welcoming place." Code word. I didn't get what I wanted. I will tell you this as your pastor. I'm not here to give you what you want. Because what you want stinks most of the time. What I want stinks most of the time. What I want's not godly. I want to be recognized. I want to be noticed. I want to control the situation. But Jesus, he don't want to be recognized. He wants you to be resurrected. Jesus, he don't want to be noticed. He wants you to have a life that is noted in heaven. You see, it's a different dimension. It's a new way of what? Thinking. Well, he goes on and he tells her, he says, I love his response. He said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Wow. That's a response, isn't it? I just always love that response in the Bible. She goes, "You're a Jew and a man. I'm a Samaritan and a woman.
You're breaking the rules. And Jesus goes, well, if you really knew who I was, you would ask me for a drink of water, and I'd give you this drink of water, because the water I got to give is living water. Now, there's a real clear answer. You know what I'm telling you, Hillview? In our journey together, let's continue to celebrate the mystery of God. You know why Jesus gave this woman a drink of water? Anybody know? Come on, y'all Bible study teachers in here. Anybody know? Somebody take a guess. Huh? Exactly right. She's thirsty. Bob's exactly right. The reason Jesus talked about water is because she was thirsty. She was drawing from water that would not satisfy her. Ooh, she was drawing the water that would not change her situation. Anybody? Oh, we got to preach a little bit here, Reverend Mark. Oh, excuse me. Y'all need to know this. The Reverend Mark has now become the Reverend Dr. Marcus B. Hale. Yeah, isn't that cool? And guess what? That just means this. He wrote a lot of pages like Scott did. Jamie got the best deal of all of us. But Jamie's a doc. All that means is this, guys, we want to make sure that we do our best for you all as a church. That's all that means. You know why Mark did what he did? Because he loves Jesus. Being a doctor means this. A doctor without Jesus means you go to hell, and you shouldn't go there because you're supposed to be smart. It's all about who? Jesus. You know what? If we didn't have Jesus, nothing here would work. How many of y'all believe that? If we didn't have Jesus, man, here, nothing would work. Nothing would happen. Which is, we didn't have Jesus, I couldn't have gone last week to Virginia and told a church that, man, God's ready to do something phenomenal with you all if you all would just step into Jesus. You should have seen the faces of their 36 deacons. 36 deacons in a church of 800. Welcome to hell.
No.
You see, the reason you do that in a Baptist church is because everybody wants to be a leader. And everybody thinks being a leader is what the church is about, so you make everybody in the church a deacon if they're a man. They had people on there that didn't have a clue who Jesus was. Had a few of them that argued with me. I loved it. You know what? They were drinking from a well that would not satisfy them. Race team, back there in that pit, in that infield, guess what? Every weekend there's a lot of people drinking a lot of water that will not satisfy them. How many of y'all have ever had a drink of water that will not satisfy you?
Amen.
Ooh, how many of y'all have been so thirsty you just keep drinking, but you won't get satisfied? Is that not the run of American culture? I mean, how many new clothes can you get? How many new houses can you get? How many new cars does it take? How much does it take before you go, wait a minute, I'm missing life? Well, if you get in Samaria, Jesus comes sit right down beside you and he says, hey, I need a drink. He goes, what are you doing talking to me? I'm a sinner and you're the Son of God. He said, well, I come to give you a drink. I came to give you a drink of living water. I came to bring life into your situation. Hillview, that's the journey. And I don't want us to make it any more complicated than that. That's the journey. That's the journey of faith. And you know what? I want to tell you guys, thank you for not making it complicated. How many of y'all realize this is not complicated? We got back from Costa Rica a few weeks ago. You know how people came to know the Lord Jesus Christ? We took an Rubik's Cube with the gospel on it. And people begin to say, hey, I need Jesus in my life. With an Rubik's Cube. We can use race cars. We can use lake moments. Bart, God's used you in the game of football. Make sense? You know, it's everyday life. Mark Manley, God's used you over there with a bunch of little peewee football players. They're looking up at a big giant going, I want to be like that guy one day. I'm glad when they look at you, you guys say, if you're going to be like me, you got to follow who? Jesus. See what I'm talking about? How God's used a crazy construction worker that got saved from the drunk section. He's blessed the world, blessed his wife, baptized his family. I didn't know he had a drunk section, but I'm glad people were getting saved in it. Amen. We all got a section in this church, really. You know what I mean? I always laughed at her. He said, we got a drunk section. I said, well, where's the arrogant section? We've had a lot saved out of arrogance, a lot saved out of selfishness, a lot saved out of jealousy, a lot saved out of gossip. Not as many as we need, but we've had a lot saved out of it. Huh? You see, these are all deadly things too. Amen? They kill us. Am I making sense today? Church, I just want to thank you.
This is my sermon today. I want to thank you for going to Samaria. I want to thank you for sitting down by the well with people that thought they couldn't find any satisfaction. Who knows? Maybe one day this church is so crazy, Mick Jagger's would have to rewrite his song if he found Jesus. He'll probably be alive another 100 years. Apparently, he chemically found a combination that has paralyzed him in the 60s. Remember that song he sang? It's really the song of our culture, especially if you're a baby boomer. I can't get no satisfaction. And we really have lived like that for a 40-year run here. I can't get no satisfaction. I mean, look at a generation. They've smoked dope, done drugs, done the money, had spirituality, and now they're still standing. Where is it? They've gone to church and now they're leaving. Because you know what I'm scared of? This is what breaks my heart as a pastor. I'm afraid people went to church and never found Jesus. Do you know you can come to church and not meet Jesus? Here's what messes with me. I find Jesus more at Samaria than I do at church. Got to thinking about that, and Hillview, I just want to tell you, the rest of the ride isn't going to be about here as much as it is about there. Make sense? Jim and his team, they're working hard. We're going to put one more building up here. I don't think we need another worship center, do y'all? Talk to me. It's yay or nay. Talk to me. No. This looks like it's fine to me. Y'all can sit, see here, and it's heat and cool. That's all you need in a worship center. Isn't that cool? Because I don't want you to sit here very long anyway. I mean, unless we're getting a real good sermon where you got to sit down long. But what? It's not about sitting here and listening to sermons. It's about being energized by what you hear here and going out and being the sermon. That's the difference. And guys, look what she said. She said, I just want to show you this last part because it's just the journey of Hillview. We got to go to Samaria. When we get there, we got to break the rules. Talk to people that aren't supposed to be talked to. And the third thing in our journey that we've done is this. Jesus is the only way to get better. He's the only place of satisfaction. How many of y'all found that's the only thing that works? When we've had trouble at Hillview, guess who we quit listening to? Jesus. When we as a staff have been a disaster over 16 years, guess what we did? We went to a conference. We started trying to do what somebody else did instead of what Jesus was telling us to do. We've done that before. It's called mimic ministry. It never works. You know, work there for them, but it's not what God's called us to be. Hillview, I want to thank you for some things. You're rugged. Thank you for being rugged. You're rugged. We're multicultural. I always thank God for that. I'm glad there's not, you know, the same kind of race in here all the time. That just bores me. Ugh. We're about the world. And I want to live in the world and bring Jesus' grace in the world. In the world. And people do bad things in the world. I don't know if y'all been keeping up with news lately the past 20 years. People do bad things in the church, too. I've come to the conclusion. Watch this great conclusion, Don, that I've come to. Watch this. You ready? People do bad things. And Jesus is the only one that will save them. This woman had done some things that weren't healthy for her. Jesus said, I'll tell you what. She said, where can I go get this water? This sounds really good because she was at the well at the wrong time anyway. So apparently she has some problems. And Jesus said, hey, I'll tell you what you do. You go get your husband. Come back. I'm going to give you some of this water. Now here's what Jesus does. He helps us see where we are. So we can know who He is. Make sense? How many of y'all, you realize we all sinners? We've all messed up. How many of y'all have all done something you wasn't supposed to do? Good. How many of y'all even struggle keeping from doing that now? Even saved. Even saved, I want to sin sometimes. What about you guys? Huh? Any of y'all have that problem? Apparently, I found some relief because I read like the Apostle Paul, and he said his spirit was willing, his flesh was weak. And I said, mine too. I understand the struggle between life and death. That's the struggle. And any of you, look what happens here. I want to thank you for being a church that doesn't freak out over sin. People are going to have problems. We all got problems. We've all messed up. We've all had moments where we just didn't do what God wants to do. And somehow or another, mysteriously, we become children of God, yeah? She said, I don't have a husband. Jesus. Well, you're right when you said you've had no husband. The fact is you've had five husbands and the man you have now is not your husband. Let me ask you all a question. If Jesus was talking to you and all of a sudden, what did Jesus just do? He said, what you have said is quite true. I'm going to stop here today. What you've said is quite true. How many of y'all realize this? If we're going to continue to have a church that authentically reaches the world, we got to get down to what's quite true. Fact is, she'd had five husbands. Can you believe Jesus would love a woman been divorced five times? I can. I remember reading that in the radio, on a radio show one day. They were doing an interview with me, and this lady called in. And I was in a rural place in Kentucky, and she said, Pastor Steve, do you believe Jesus loves divorced people? I said, not only do I believe it, I know it. I have scriptural evidence for it. She said, well, in the Bible it says, I said, honey, let me show you what it says in the Bible. There was a woman at the well, and Jesus said, well, what you've said is quite true. You've had five. I said, listen, this woman had five husbands and was shacked up again. Jesus called her living with somebody. People ask me all the time, what do you do with people that are living together? I said, I let Jesus talk to them. I let Jesus talk to him. He said, how do you do that? I said, it's in the Bible. Here's a woman. She had five husbands. She had five husbands. Pastor God, she had five husbands. Now, some of them may have died. Maybe men just gave up when they got around her. I don't know. But, man, she had a problem, Bob Whitting Hill. What was her problem? No, what was her problem? You told me first. What was her problem? It hadn't changed. She's thirsty. Yeah, all right, see, we don't want to change the problem. She's thirsty. That's why she had five husbands. She couldn't find a man to satisfy her. How many of y'all women have ever tried that? There's a lost cause. You going to find life in a husband? That's just bringing on a problem. You going to find life? How many of y'all have done it with your marriage? We're going to have a kid to make our marriage come together. Yeah, that's right. Getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning enhances your marriage. You have a kid because you become madly in love and you don't want to bless yourself anymore. You want to bless another human? Well, guess what? Jesus didn't flinch at her problem. She responded after Jesus responded, oh, I can see you're a prophet. Yeah, I bet. And a good one. You know what? She came to this realization. Jesus knew who I was and is speaking to me. And not only that, Jesus gave her a drink of water and told her the truth. You ready? Hillview, this summarizes who we need to be. She asked a very important question. Pastor Keith, it was a worship question. She said, where are we supposed to worship? I got to look at this. I said, man, this question has been around for 2,000 years. When we started Hillview, y'all remember when we started bringing guitars into church? Lord, every Pharisee in this county was talking about me. They still are. And they'll be till I die. And I hope they say one thing. He went to Samaria. I'm going to tell you, Hillview, we're one of the few Samarian-going churches in this region of the United States. Everybody else wants to go to Jerusalem. They want to go where the temple's already built. But we've been willing to go to Samaria. And she said, Jesus, I'm really confused. Believe me, Jesus said, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they're the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit and His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, hey, I know there's a time. There's supposed to be a Messiah, Christ, that's coming. And then Jesus looks her right in the eye and guess what He says? I who speak to you am He. Boom. Is that not the Hillview story we celebrate? Simply this. God will meet us where we are. Give us a drink of life that will satisfy us for all eternity. And so, Hillview, I want to thank you. I love being your pastor. I've loved it for 16 years. Have I loved every moment of it? No. But I haven't loved every moment of being married. I haven't loved every moment of parenting. I haven't loved every moment of being alive. And guess what? So what? God has loved every moment. See the difference? And that truth will set you what? Absolutely free. How many of y'all ready to be free? So guess what? Let me give you a dream. There's some things we got to do. I want to thank you all for your giving. It's picking up, and I want to thank you guys for that, and thank you for really considering what God might do with this church. We got to get this children's building up and get some space. You know why? We're out of space on Wednesday nights. How many of y'all are excited that we're out of space for people to come to Bible study? Now, that's even getting more exciting. We're out of space because we got too many people coming to Bible study. You can cheer God for that, that people want to learn. Said, hey, yeah. All right, now. Here's the way we build buildings at Hillview. We're not real fancy. I'm not going to have a bunch of fancy people come in here and send out 400,000 pledge cards and do rah-rah. And I'm definitely not going to preach about it Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Because guess what? Nobody gets saved doing that. And they could care less. We could build a building, and if you don't meet Jesus, you go to hell. You can say, church, you can tell the Lord, Lord, I went to the church with the new building. That's why I'm in hell. Because they never told me I needed to. They told me I needed to give my money, but they never told me I needed to connect with Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, you need to connect with Jesus Christ first, but we are going to have to give some money. And I'm just real blunt about it. It's going to cost about $6-7 million. I don't know. You know, things go up and down. That's not impossible for this congregation. That's not impossible for this congregation to get done cash on hand. You know, if we want to get faithful. And so I'm just telling you, that's coming. We got to get that under the way, and we're going to pick up on that. We've got some things stable now. Also, I want to tell you, we're going to get out all over the world. Right now, we're working with Costa Rica. We're working with other churches. This thing is connecting, and we're not connecting it. God is. So who knows? Amen? I have two dreams for you guys. The first dream is this. Every one of you are going to be in another culture and share Jesus, because I think you need to get a global guide. I'm talking the whole church. If we really probably wanted to change Iraq, if we took his church to Iraq for 3 days, they'd probably call it quits. And say, if y'all just get them out of there, we'll settle down. If they'll leave, we'll call it. We'll call it even. Do you know what? We got to understand there's a world that needs Jesus. Amen. And it starts with our world right here called Warren County. And then the surrounding counties. And then a place called Kentucky. And Kentucky's a lot like Samaria. There's not a whole lot of people in other states that really want to move here. There's really not. I mean, I'm just going to help you all in Kentucky. It's not like people from California go, oh, man, there's job openings in Kentucky. They see job openings in Kentucky and say, what else can we do here? So in our Samaria, we got to go bring water, life. Make sense? And so that's the journey, and we want to do those things. And we want God to bless. Today, if you find yourself sitting by the well, I just want you to know, I already know Jesus has already taken his seat right beside you. You say, well, how in the world do I get satisfaction? Lord Jesus, I'm so tired of doing the wrong thing. I need a drink. I need a drink. I need a drink of your forgiveness. I need a drink of your grace. You say, well, how you get that? Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I know I say that every Sunday, and I hope you never get tired of me saying that. I love it. You know what? This is the criticism that's been leveled about me. I don't preach where people can grow deeper. You know why? We don't even know what the gospel is anymore. You know what people want me to do? I could give you that stuff. I got a degree in it. They want me to teach you psychology and mix it with the Word of God. I don't think mixed drinks are really good. I think you ought to have the straight gospel. And here's the straight gospel. You and I have sinned. Jesus said so. You say, are we inherently good or are we inherently bad? I don't know, but we're inherently sinful. And Jesus said, I've come to give you a drink. Whether you've had five husbands, whether you've had two, whether you've had one, whether you never got married. I've come because you broke the law. And I've come so that you might have a drink of satisfaction. And I've come so you might be forgiven. Amen. So let's stand. We're going to have an altar call. I'm going to ask you to do something today for just a moment. I want you to just come and pray. This prayer at the 16-year mark, starting the 17th year, that we would be water barriers of living water. That we would go let people know that God wants to drink with them. Amen. And God wants to give them a drink that will change their life. So this altar's open. If you need a relationship with Jesus Christ, absolutely. That's what we live for. If you need to be baptized, we live for that stuff. We're baptizing 14 people today. Amen? Isn't that cool? The next two services. Amen. Come on. Praise the Lord for that. So this altar's open. Y'all come on and let God touch you right now. Let Him touch you right now. Come on.